Let's not forget our singing tonight at 6 o'clock. We have the Macedonian boys coming, and let's try to support them if we can. They do a very, very good job. And I've asked the Cole family today to do our special. So let's say a prayer for them as they come forward and give an attentive ear.
For a long time I traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy, in sin I sank low. Then I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out through His saving power. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Washed in the blood of Jesus, been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way. Like a bird out of prison that's taken his flight. Like the blind man that God gave back his sight. Like a poor wretched beggar that's found fortune and fame. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out through His holy name. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Washed in the blood of Jesus, been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out through His holy name.
Be a word or a thought on anyone's heart before we change the course of the service. Anything. Appreciate the things so far that's done, been done in service to the Lord this morning. We sang the songs that we've sang, and I hope that it's prepared our heart for the word of the Lord this morning. And I do have an interest and a desire in your prayers, but most importantly, I would ask this morning, if you've never been saved, that you might pay attention for just a little while. I'll try not to worry your patience. I'll not try to linger too awful long. But my heart this morning is full, and I thank God this morning that I know that I'm saved. I thank God this morning to know that I've got a better place to go when I lay this walk of life down. And this morning, that's my earnest desire for you, that you might know. That's what I desire, and that's what God desires. He wants you to know to the uttermost. He wants you to have an assurance in your heart. He wants you to know without a shadow of a doubt this morning where you stand with Him. And this morning I pray that you might listen. If you're here this morning, I would pray that you wouldn't linger too awful long talking with your friends and things, but that you just might listen for just a little while. I want to take some reading this morning from the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John. I want to take for a reading this morning from the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John. And we'll be reading this morning, starting our scripture in the 41st verse. Very familiar scripture this morning. We find here that Jesus, in the previous part of this chapter, in the beginning of this chapter, we find here that that He had fed the 5,000. And we know here that He was there at Tiberias on the Sea of Galilee. And we know now that He has made His way across the Sea of Galilee to the other side of the coast here to Capernaum. And this morning, we want to read about what takes place. And no doubt, as He's over on the other side of Tiberias, we see here that He's around what you'd consider country folk, common folk, if you will. And now He's made His way over to Capernaum, there in the synagogue that you can read on into this chapter. And He's there in the synagogue, and He's teaching, and He's around the Jews, the Bible says, and they were to be more educated people of this time. And so I want to read to you, some scholars and different ones might say that this was the beginning of Jesus' Galilean ministry. But anyway, this morning I want to read what takes place in the 41st verse. Do pray for us for a little while. He says, "And Jesus then murmured at him," in the 41st verse it says, "And the Jews then murmured at him, because he said, 'I am the bread which came down from heaven.' And they said, 'Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven?' Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, 'Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, at that they shall be taught of God. Every man therefore hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he that seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, and I will give it for the life of the world." And with the mistakes that we've made reading this morning, I want to look where our heart is in the 44th verse. It says, "No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." And I want to look here in this piece of scripture this morning, and I guess if I had to title this subject, the thought that kept coming to our mind this week is not just a carpenter's son. That would be our thought this week. He's not just a carpenter's son. And really, the Lord just really helped us with our thought this week, and I want to try to bring this out. But He said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." As we look back here in the beginning of this chapter, we can see how that the Lord Jesus had went up into the mountain. And we know there that there was a great multitude of people who had gathered around. And no doubt they were hungered and they needed to be fed. And we know then that the Scripture teaches us that He had taken 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes.
fishes which a young lad had had there. And we know that God was able to provide for these 5,000 men. And might I add this morning, not only was it 5,000 men that he provided for, but it was the women and children also. And I want you to understand this morning that we serve a God who's able to provide and sustain every need this morning that we need and stand in need of. But no doubt here, we know that how great of a miracle this was, and how this morning those things began to stand out to the people that saw these things. And how could this be, this man here, no doubt how he had blessed this and he was able to provide, and yet they began to follow him and to seek out the answers that Jesus had. And I want you to look here as he begins to proclaim to them. He said, "I am the bread of life." And as we go throughout this chapter, he makes a mention of that some 7 or 8 times throughout the remainder of this chapter, that he makes a declaration to these people, and he says, "I am the bread of life." My friend, I want you to understand, there is no denying what Jesus is trying to declare to them. There's no mystery to it, in a sense that Jesus was very plain in his language and what he was saying. He said, "I am the bread of life." This morning, I want you to understand that that truth still holds true today, that he is the bread of life. He said, listen, over there, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth his life unto the world." Jesus was telling them there, listen, he says, "I am the bread of life." This morning, I want you to understand that these people that had gathered around, usually the synagogue would have been a time and a place where they would have gathered for the reading of the scripture, and no doubt for prayer and for fellowship and things of that nature. But Jesus found himself here gathered together in this synagogue at Capernaum, and no doubt these people were educated that had gathered around him. And my friend, up until this point, those that were of common nature was questioning a lot of things that he was doing, and they couldn't understand and comprehend. But my friend, now the preaching of Jesus has finally caught up to him, and all the things that he was saying. And my friend, they could not understand, they could not comprehend what it was Jesus was trying to preach. They couldn't understand it. They could not comprehend it, because they could not in their heart be willing to receive it. They said, the Jews murmured at him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, 'I came down from heaven'?" How is it that this man, this Jesus, how is it that he is the son of a carpenter? How is it that he is the poor son of a carpenter from Nazareth? How is it that he says that he is the bread of life? They couldn't understand it. They couldn't comprehend it, because here he was in the flesh. And yet he tells them, "I am the bread of life." He said, "I'm not talking about the manna that came down from heaven," but he says, "It's me." He wasn't trying to have any kind of hidden agenda about it. He said, "I am it. It's me. I'm here." Listen. He says, and they began to murmur amongst themselves. They said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, 'I came down from heaven'?" There are things that, I'll just be honest with you, that is far beyond my comprehension. There is things that we read about in the scripture my friend, this morning that I'm just beyond comprehension and what I can see and what I can understand. I began to look at those things, and my friend, this morning, I can't explain them to you, but I believe them because it's the Word of God, and that's what He said He done. Because, my friend, as the children of God, we have to look through the eye of faith. These people said, there's no way that this man, the poor son of a carpenter, is the bread of life. He said, and Jesus therefore answered and said to them, murmur not amongst yourselves. He said, don't murmur amongst yourselves. Don't sit back and examine all the things that's taken place and sit back and say, listen, there's no way that this can come to pass. But Jesus said unto them, He said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And my friend, this morning I want to look at this piece of Scripture. We are living in a day and time that there is a dividing line. My friend, today, in the day and time that we live in, a dividing line in the church, and I'm talking about universally. There are people in the world today that believe that they can just merely accept Christ. They believe that they can merely make a decision for Christ. They believe that they can just up and decide one day that they're going to serve the Lord in the best magnitude that they can. But my friend, this is against the teachings of Jesus. Jesus says that no man... He says, no man, no boy or girl, no man or woman, no person that's across the world, no one that is from the rural parts of Kentucky, no man can come to the Father. He said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. No man. This morning, I want you to understand, if you've ever been saved, if you know what it is to have a peace in your heart this morning, you know what it is to be drawn to God. You didn't just up and decide one day that you were going to become a Christian. You didn't just up and decide one day that you was going to give your life to God. But my friend, you were drawn to Him. He said, no man can come. What does He mean by that word, come? My friend, this morning I might see it as trying to comprehend and to understand what it is that we're talking about. First of all, there's no way this morning that we can even begin to comprehend the person of Jesus Christ on our own. There's just no way this morning. You might on your own try to sit back and say, well, I've heard a lot about Him. But my friend, unless God has revealed Him to you, you can't begin to comprehend Him. He's beyond your comprehension. You can't even begin to fathom Him. And my friend, when God comes into your heart and He places that peace in your heart, then you begin to grasp an understanding and a comprehension of who and what He is. Just very little. Then the miracles begin to make sense to you. My friend, that He has always been and always will be. That He was in the beginning. My friend, that He is God in the flesh. That He come and dwelt among men and walked this earth. You might begin to comprehend, but it still goes beyond us. He said, no man can come unto me unless the Father who has sent me draw Him. Comprehending Jesus Christ. These people had seen the miracles. They had seen what Jesus was able to do. They had seen it. I want you to imagine this morning, there's things that we read in this book that oftentimes I think goes beyond us. It just goes in one ear and right out the other. But you take a man who was here in the flesh that was God. And yet, my friend, when he blessed that meal, he took those five barley leaves. I'm telling you this morning that we can take the seed of wheat, and I can go out in my field and I can cast it, and if God give the increase, it'll sprout right up. But do you realize this seed had done been ground to powder? That seed was dead in itself. It couldn't grow. On its own, you don't see people going out casting flour. But Jesus said, Lord, let it be, and it was be. He took him two small fishes. And to us, it seemed so small. But he was able to feed this multitude. And just as he has fed this multitude, my friend, he'll fill you up. And he'll keep filling you up. And he'll supply every need that you could ever imagine. They murmured amongst themselves. They rejected him. And this morning, I want you to understand something, that if you're here and you're lost, and my friend, the Holy Spirit has come by and it has knocked upon your heart sometime, you, my friend, are sitting there this morning rejecting him. Now, maybe there's some that disagree with that, but I'm telling you this morning, if the Holy Spirit comes and draws you and it knocks upon your heart and you say no, my friend, this morning, you've got to make a move towards him. But you can't make that move on your own. He's got to draw you. He says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me. Draw him. When I began to think about Jesus, and how he has always been, it's beyond my comprehension. But my friend, this morning, I want you to understand, it's not something that you can do on your own, but God has to open your heart, and he has to open your mind, and he has to plant it down in your heart, and then he begins to work on you, and he begins to draw on you, because he loves you, and he wants you to be saved more than anything. Listen to me this morning. It's not the preacher that does the saving. It's not the songs. It's not the testimonies. It's not this or that. It's God. It's God who does the drawing. And my friend, if we want to see a time now more than ever that God does the drawing as God's people, we need to be in prayer for that matter before we ever enter into this house. We need to start asking God, Lord, would you draw down and start drawing on those that are lost? These Jews, being religiously minded as they were, no doubt they were smart and educated. They weren't looking for this Jesus of Nazareth. But they were looking for something far greater and far grander than that. They were looking for something that would come and overthrow Roman authority, that would establish the kingdom, that would help them and evolve them, that would move them on, that would get them out of Roman oppression. They weren't looking for this man. They weren't looking for one that would come unto them in this stature. And my friend, I want you to understand something this morning. If you're not willing to see Jesus for who he is. And I'm talking about in his loneliness and his humility. My friend, this morning I want you to understand that you've got to be willing to see him as the Savior of the world. That he is the only hope that we have. He is this morning the only name under heaven whereby a man must be saved. It's the only name given. If you're ever going to be saved, it has to be through and by Jesus Christ. Salvation doesn't come upon you and you just make a decision one day after a while that that's something that you're going to do. But I'm thankful for a time in my life when I know that God began to draw on me and work on me. I'm thankful to know that I was at a young and tender age. But he began to work on me. This morning I hope and I pray that God is working on you. And that he is drawing on you. Because he loves you. And he wants you to be saved this morning. Church, it's our desire, it should be all of our desire this morning to seek out his will that he might draw on these that are lost. I remember that time. I've told y'all here before that I was just as fine as I could be, and I found myself sitting in a pew. Someone got to talking about here a while back. I told him, I said, have you ever been sitting in a service and you could see conviction come upon somebody? And they said, yeah, I felt it. Boy, I have too. God will come by and he'll convict you. And he'll open up your heart and he'll let you see yourself for what you are. And that's God beginning to dwell and to deal upon your heart. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And he said, any man that eateth me, listen, he said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give thee is my flesh, and I will give it for the life of the world. Has God drawn upon you? Has there been a time in your life when you can sit back and say, boy, I know what that preacher's talking about. He wants you to be saved. Is there a time in your life when you know and experience that you've come to him? Do you know what it is this morning to have a peace in your heart? Do you know what it feels like this morning for God to come in and to convict you? Do you sit there this morning and God knocks upon your heart? Do you sit back and reject? Do you sit back and murmur? Think upon yourself, boy, there's got to be a better way. Maybe you sit back this morning and say, I don't want to be made fun of. I don't want to be talked about. Boy, I'm thankful when the Spirit of God gets in the matter, it doesn't matter who's around. When the Spirit of God gets in the matter and he begins to draw on you, it won't matter. I'm thankful to know that I made my way to an old-time altar. Not because it was something that I decided to pawn upon myself, but it was because God, and I thank the Lord for it this morning, was drawing on my heart. This morning, I hope and I pray that you make a move to the Lord. It's not for my benefit this morning. It's not that the church might glory in it, but it's that God might glory in it. He said, come and eat of me. He told the woman over there at the well, he said, I am the living water. My friend, when God gives you something, It sticks with you. And it's eternal. And it never leaves you. This morning, if God is drawing on you, won't you make a move toward the Lord? As we stand and have a verse of song this morning, make a move. Make a move to God. Make a move this morning.
Stand, please.